donate, and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
All righty, we are back. And folks, please don't call me and ask me to send you a copy of this. Here, you can get this by going to CitizensUnitedMovies.com. That's CitizensUnitedMovies.com. You can get that and what we're playing right now. And we're going to finish it off. So let's go ahead, and we've got a few more minutes left. But go ahead and let's do it.
Opted over the motives of Zuckerberg's money, Arizona enacted legislation making it illegal for any election official to accept outside funding. But a conclusive investigation into Arizona's presidential election of 2020 remains.
The attorney general's looking right now. We'll see what happens.
New tax filings reveal where $5.1 million of Zuckerberg's money was spent in Arizona. These four difference-making counties, carried by Joe Biden, received nearly 76% of CTCL's grants in the state. Unsurprisingly, the vast majority went to Biden counties, including over $1.8 million to the state's vote-rich Maricopa County. Astonishingly, despite barely campaigning in the state, the Zuckerberg money helped Biden grow his turnout by nearly 700,000 votes in funded counties over Hillary Clinton's 2016 total.
I don't think we have to blame China or voting machines. I think we can look straight in the eye of Mark Zuckerberg and all these left-wing groups that infiltrated the offices with $500 million, and that's why Joe Biden won.
I've never seen anything like this. Georgia seems to have always been a place where elections have been fair and honest and upright. And all of a sudden, this past one, everything seemed to be a huge question mark. There was an enormous amount of money thrown into this race, and I believe that helped influence the outcome.
$45 million was spent in Georgia alone, and we showed that that actually moved the needle anywhere from 2 to 3%, and that would have made the difference in Georgia in the outcome.
In my mind, they were clearly rigging the election. I'm not convinced that the election was stolen on Election Day. I think the bigger story was that across the whole country for months, there was an effort to rig the election to make it virtually impossible for Trump to win.
If I were a political operative and I told you a candidate, I can shift you big counties by 13.5 points, you couldn't write checks fast enough to me.
And we are finding out what they did. There were communications with key election officials, and one of those election officials is the Secretary of State of Georgia, whose goal in life appeared to be to make himself adored by the left.
The Secretary of State of Georgia, Brad Raffensperger, thanks so much for joining us. Thanks for everything you and your colleagues are doing. We are so grateful to see democracy in action in Georgia.
And he was totally afraid of Stacey Abrams. So the money that flowed into Georgia, a lot of it came through the Secretary of State's office.
The consent decree was an agreement pushed by Democrats and failed gubernatorial candidate Stacey Abrams, and signed off on by Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger. The agreement undercut the process for matching signatures on absentee ballots.
The governor was afraid of Stacey Abrams, but how he and Raffensperger were allowed to do the consent decree. The consent decree says the Republicans are not allowed to win the state of Georgia. That's all it said. And why they would have agreed to that without the approval of the state legislature, which you have to have, is incredible. And why the courts haven't overturned it is more incredible.
As the Zuckerberg-funded plan was at work activating state election offices to increase the number of absentee ballots, mail-in votes, and drop boxes in heavily Democrat areas, the consent decree restricted the ability to challenge contested ballots. Once again, Chan Zuckerberg Initiative's David Plouffe knew exactly what needed to happen in the battleground state of Georgia.
Every battleground state has more conservative voters than liberals, so we start there. And Republicans more reliably get their turnout. So those two pieces, as you remember well, puts them closer to the 50-yard line than we are. That's just a fact.
Georgia got $50 million of Zuckerberg's money, more than any other state in the country. And 94% of CTCL's funds in Georgia went to jurisdictions Biden carried.
Look, in my opinion, it's corrupt. It's not fair. It shouldn't be allowed. Probably isn't allowed. We're now finding all of this stuff out. You know, it was hidden, put in reports, but hidden. But now when you see the extent of it, also when you see the extent of the voting, where it's 97% for Biden and 3% for Trump in some cases, but we got millions and millions of votes. And when somebody's allowed to spend $417 million with no recourse, and then you read later on, long after the election's over, that the vast majority of that went to Democrats. I mean, how is that not a violation of the law?
Once again, COVID was used as cover to direct targeted funding for get-out-the-vote operations.
This is COVID, so we've got to allow this mail-in balloting. We've got to pay these lawyers. We've got to hire these partisans to go door-to-door and collect ballots.
I mean, you look at where we know a lot of the money went, and yes, every appearance is that that money absolutely was effective in helping tip the scales in Georgia. The drop-off boxes, the attempt to get absentee ballots to everyone on the voter registration files, even the extent of poll workers and counters of the votes.
Biden has done what no other Democratic candidate has been able to do in some 28 years, turn Georgia blue.
And in Georgia, one of the most controversial of all, the funded jurisdictions, Democrat margin, more than 25 times the narrow little statewide margin. Now, I don't think any honest person can look at that and say that Zuck's money didn't make the difference.
In fact, the CEO of the Stacey Abrams-founded New Georgia Project said, if there isn't a way for us to repeat what happened in November 2020, we're effed.
I was told that if I get one more vote than 63 million, I can't be beaten. I got 75 million votes. I got the most votes ever gotten by far, like by millions, by a sitting president. And we lost. The economy was going good. There was no inflation. Gasoline, I mean, record low prices. Gasoline was $1.87 when I left.
Here's what we know. 22.7 million went to Pennsylvania, grants to 24 counties, funding to 11 of the 14 counties that Biden won in 2020. The largest grants by county went to Philadelphia County, Chester County, Delaware County, Allegheny County, Montgomery County, Center County, Lehigh, Dauphin, Lancaster, and Berks County. 8 of the 10 went for Biden. So massive investments in counties, 80% of which are Biden counties. How about Michigan? The 10 biggest grant recipients, 9 of the 10 went for Biden. Georgia, 10 largest grants, wait for it, 9 of the 10 went for Biden. Virginia, once again, the 10 largest grants, 8 of the 10 went for Joe Biden.
Normally, parties have to raise a great deal of money to turn out the vote. Zuckerberg was stepping in for the Democrats and saying, here's $400 million. Let me help you turn out the vote.
You see something so strange, like Biden wins by a fairly large popular number and a comfortable electoral number, while Republicans pick up seats in the House. Very strange combination. And it isn't until you drill down on the Zuckerberg spending that you can understand how the Republicans could perform well in most of the country, but have literally targeted spikes of voter turnout in densely packed Democrat areas.
Biden won the national popular vote by more than 7 million votes. Zuckerberg's money was targeted not just in battleground states, but into vote-rich Democrat areas like California, New Jersey, and New York to drive up Joe Biden's turnout.
If they could drive up the popular vote total, even if maybe things were close or they lost in the Electoral College, they'd be able to brag about this popular vote total.
State legislatures have started passing laws making it illegal to repeat the privately funded election activities of 2020.
In South Dakota, we care greatly about election integrity, and Republican states across this country are passing laws much like this. Many times in Democrat, liberal-run states, they are refusing to do this.
But in some states, their efforts are being blocked, like in Louisiana.
The bill passed in a bipartisan fashion and disappointingly was vetoed by the Democratic governor.
We talked about states passing legislation to prevent billionaires from buying election machinery, buying the operation of elections. Two states, Pennsylvania and Wisconsin, both passed laws to do that. In both states, the Democratic governors vetoed that law. They want to sell our democracy, and they're perfectly happy to have billionaires running it all. It's a very simple question. Why did the Democratic governor of Pennsylvania veto the bill? Why did the Democratic governor of Wisconsin veto the bill? Because they want to do it again.
They're going to try and do it again in 22 and 24. They're using the pandemic to cheat on the elections. It's the only way they get elected. Because who's going to vote for somebody with open borders, no voter ID, defund the police, no Second Amendment? Who's going to vote for these people?
70% of likely voters believe Zuckerberg's spending spree to influence the 2020 presidential election was a bad thing for democracy. 10 states have already passed laws that ban or restrict Zuckerberg-style funding of elections. Others are expected to follow suit. However, 5 Democrat governors have vetoed their state's bills. Should Mark Zuckerberg be held accountable for the actions that he took and the $400 million in money that he put into the 2020 election?
He should totally be held accountable, and he should never be allowed to do it again, and nobody else should. It was a rigged election. People have to find out what happened, and they have to hold people accountable. When I say rigged election, they know who rigged it. They know who they are. These are guilty people. They have to be held accountable. Mark Zuckerberg is one of them.
All right, we're back. Folks, I want to say this before I forget. Doers of the Word Baptist Church, we're only going to have a morning service this week. It's a morning service, Mother's Day. And by the way, it's going to be a very interesting message this week because the Mother's Day message is titled The Good, the Glad, the Bad, and the Sad. And we're talking about mothers in the Bible, mothers from the Bible. These are women from the Bible. And we're going to look at them and compare them to those of today. And, boy, I'm going to tell you, it's not going to make the other side happy when I do this. It'll make our side happy. But anyhow, this, what you just heard, is put out by CitizensUnitedMovies.com. CitizensUnitedMovies.com. And so if you want it, if you want to get that, and if you get something like that here, I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to be, we play these between now and the election. And by the way, excuse me, we also have a 2,000 Mules documentary on order, and we will be getting those in too, the DVDs, and we will be showing that. We have a class we teach, the Bible class, the Bible and Current Events, and I happen to teach that class. And I'm going to invite John and John down there to see if we can educate them on these things. But here, we'll be showing that. But if you want to get that, I would, again, CitizensUnitedMovies.com. It's a very, very good. Show it in your church out there, you folks that are listening. Go to your pastors and tell them, come on. Get some intestinal fortitude. Stand up. Try to remember whose side you're on. And show this film to your people so they understand. Because let me ask the two Johns. Two Johns, are those very same people still out there that rigged the 2020 election?
Absolutely, Pastor Ernie. And I think that the movie was good, but it's missing one thing. Big thing.
Who was organizing?
Well, who was organizing? And all of a sudden, Zuckerberg does this. Money goes here, there, everywhere. All I mean, it looked like it was all coordinated, way above the state of Georgia, way above Arizona, Wisconsin, and all. There was some national strategy. And Zuckerberg just didn't give that money the way he did. It was all all planned up on a much, much higher level, Pastor.
Here's what Durham says. Durham alerts judge to federal ruling against Hillary Clinton and the DNC. And, you know, they're the ones that rigged that election. I mean, they're working with NBC, ABC, CBS, PMS, NBC, CNN, working hand in hand. Now, as far as Brett Baer, Sandra Smith, Chris Wallace, Neil Cabito, Warren Williams, those that work at Fox News, who all said, "Oh, where's the evidence?" They were a part of that too. So here, you just heard the evidence, Brett Baer. But you don't want to hear this now. In fact, did you know that right now they're on the other side? Fox News joins mainstream media in boycotting coverage of 2,000 Mules documentary on a nationwide ballot trafficking conspiracy to steal the 2020 election. And in the film, Dinesh D'Souza and True to Vote provide answers and evidence of the stolen election. And the documentary released, here's a list of theaters. Well, they go on. I'm going to go beyond that here because they were played on theaters all over the entire country. And you couldn't get a ticket, John. They were sold out from day one. And here now, and we know from investigators Kathleen Engelbert and Craig Phillips that roughly 7% of all mail-in ballots in each state were trafficked. Without those stolen votes, Joe Biden would have lost the election. Joe actually did lose the election. He stole the election, and that's the truth. And anyone and everyone that says it's not a liar and there's no truth in them, and there won't, not one of them would dare come on this radio program with me, including Brett Baer, and debate that. For weeks now, the Gateway Pundit team have been wondering how the Democratic Party would respond to the devastating news. So far, the party of villains have been silent. They really don't have a way out of this. Oh, yes, they do. You know what they did? They all of a sudden made sure that there was a leak from the Supreme Court on their favorite subject, their most important, what they're all about, and that's abortion, killing children, to take the exact same time where 2,000 Mules comes out. They had to get the coverage off of that. They had to get it off of that. By the way, Durham was coming out with some things, and more was coming out on Biden's laptop, too. So all of a sudden, this leak comes out to give the fake, the very, very fake news media a way to get the people's attention off what's really happening. But here's the thing, John and John, what they missed a lot was about all of the, those dumpsters that were being filled with votes, those ballot boxes that they, drop boxes that they had out there. I know they mentioned it, but there was, you know, well over a million fraudulent votes. I mean, so many of these. Well, let me give you an example. Here, this is a good example. Not making headlines, George Soros dumps $750,000 into Wisconsin midterms as Democrats gear up for the steal. Now, here, Megan Wolf, administrator of Wisconsin Electric Commission, is also the chair of the Soros-funded ERIC systems. How about that, huh? The Wisconsin Election Commission admits that they have 7.1 million in their database, but only 3.68 million are eligible to vote. So WEC and Sarah Witt, the functional lead over the state voters registration system under the Government Accountability Board, kept everything in one database. Many dead voters are not separated out. Check county clerks showed only two clicks can make voters active again. Other investigations show data missing in required fields. Thousands and thousands of identical 1918 birth dates, eligible text entries missing. Last names or addresses, up to 25 voter IDs for one single registration, and other excusable issues, charging $13,500 to investigate who asked for voted data helped hide these atrocities. They're gearing up for another steal. Thanks to Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, the Wisconsin election system is still not fixed, and Wisconsin has no way to counter this mess. So they're out there ready to go at it again.
Pastor Ernie?
Yes, sir.
Can I interject something here?
Sure. That's why you're here.
What was the last thing that Bill Gates said about the pandemic?
Boy, I can't remember. What was it? Go ahead.
The worst is yet to come.
Oh, yeah.
Here's my take on this. So Bill's harping on the worst is yet to come. And so down the road, we have an election. And if you look at what we've reported on this show, in my opinion, we gave overwhelming evidence that the COVID virus was exaggerated in its effect. We gave overwhelming evidence that the cures were sabotaged by Fauci and others in big pharma and elected officials. We showed that this was used as an excuse to alter voting regulations, and then courts illegally manipulated the laws to facilitate that. So, like John said, this was a big, elaborate plan, and I think, like he does, that someone orchestrated this from afar. Now, if you look at Gates and what he's predicting for the future in the upcoming election, they could very well stage up the same type of plan that they used to sabotage, in my opinion, the last election. And, you know, Zuckerberg gave this money, gave it, right, to this organization. And what it is appearing to be is nothing more than money laundering. So, you know, he came out a couple of weeks ago and said, we didn't mean that to happen, and we're not going to do this anymore. So does he expect us to believe that he gives that kind of money to an organization he has no influence over how it's going to be spent? Are we really supposed to believe that, Pastor Ernie?
Well, so if you listen to
the future, they're staging up for another go-round.
Absolutely. But if you look at what Zuckerberg said, he said he's standing down. He's not going to do it in the midterms. But he's not saying he's not going to do it in the presidential. And so, in other words, according to him, of course, you don't know what you can believe, how he's going to fund the money and the other groups that see that, bozos and the others that see what he did. You know, look, even here where I live, we had a number of Democrats registered. They got Republican ballots. And the rhinos, you had the rhinos in the county of the Republican Party. In the county where I live, all the conservatives belong to the Tea Party movement. You have the Tea Party, then you have the rhino, okay? And you have a number of Democrats that register, they run as Republicans in the primary. And the reason they do that is they get to keep any real Republican from being elected. So they send the letters out to all the Democrats, register, and they did that for, like, to give you an example, in a county where normally you have about 6,000 registered Democrats and 13,000 registered Republicans. Well, guess what happens, okay? Now, remember that you had 3,000, just over 3,000 voted for Democrats, but even though you only have 13,000 registered Republicans, guess what? Over 16,000 actually voted, and they voted for those that were running as Republicans, but they weren't really. They were Democrats running as Republicans to make sure that no conservatives. This is a part of their plan nationwide. And we're telling people right here, right now, folks, you got to be very careful here, you know, and we're going to be doing some more programs on this stuff in the near future. When we're, what I'm saying right now, you are making a whole lot of rhinos really nervous because they don't want what they've been doing looked into. And they're very nervous right now about that. So anyhow, we expect them to do the same type of thing. They know, but here's the other thing too. Right now, you've got the Byrne Luton murder. These are all Democrats. These are a branch of the Democratic Communist Party. Byrne Luton murder and Antifa. Their job is to go out there, keep the people's attention, burn down some cities, keep their attention off of, make sure that people aren't looking at the voter fraud, what they're up to, and so that they don't see these movies like that what we're going to show. Now, I got a feeling that this 2,000 Mules, that these DVDs are going to be all over the place and they're going to be shown like they were in theaters, in people's houses and churches. So they're going to know and they're going to see in there exactly how the Democrats rigged and stole the election. And so people have better put the fire to the feet of these people. We can't. You know, you keep saying over and over, you keep hearing how it's going to be a red wave, a red tsunami. Not if the election fraud is not stopped. And this is what we're trying to tell people. They're gearing up. The Democrats are to election fraud. They're to crime. They're to crime what Elvis was to rock and roll and Muhammad Ali to boxing. When it comes to crime, they are the best at it. So there you go. So what do you think about all that?
Well, Pastor Ernie, again, is a big 800-pound gorilla in this. What's the FBI doing?
The FBI is not doing anything about this.
Right, Pastor Ernie, right. You can't pull off a scheme like this without the FBI's cooperation. You just can't. So they are 100% complicit in this, and they were just they didn't do anything, nothing, zero. So it's totally, totally compromised, Pastor Ernie, totally. The Justice Department, the FBI. Now, we know that, but listening to that movie there, all that was happening and the FBI didn't know it.
Well, not just that. Look, January 6th, you know, the FBI is a big organization. They got thousands of employees. And so now there's an internal investigation going on in the FBI for any of the employees that might have attended the pro-Trump movement, the rally. Now, that's their own people. They're denying it, but we know it's going on. And so they're trying to purge anyone who's honest.
Right, right, exactly. Yeah, the FBI is totally. I mean, everybody knows that. Who hears us? We've explained it many of times. But just listening to that, in my mind, I'm thinking, "Where's the FBI? Where's the FBI?"
Well, let me ask you this: Where's the FBI when all of these food manufacturing plants are being burnt down? Okay, so I got a big article here saying, where is the FBI? Why aren't they investigating? And so far, the FBI hasn't found.
They might be the ones burning them down, Pastor.
That's very possible. Okay.
The big question is, what did the FBI know, and when did they stop knowing it?
Well.
Okay.
Yeah. Just today, there was another. I'm looking for it. There was another food processor burnt down just today.
Right.
I'll get you. Here it is. Processing plants are hit while Biden cabal members admits catastrophic food shortages. And then I'm trying to pick the one out. It was in, I think, the state of Washington, and it burnt, it destroyed the whole, everything that was stored in this warehouse. So this is, Pastor Ernie, this year now, we're only in the early May, and there has been approximately 30 food processors and food storage and all that have had fires in them, 30.
So we're doing it for the first 5 months of the year. That's the amount that was done in the last 2 years, the entire last 2 years. Okay, hang tight. We'll be back right after this. Don't go away.
Read his words, heed his signs. Can't you see these are the times? Earthquakes, famines, and pestilence are all on the rise. The love of man is waxing cold, just like the way that he foretold. With all these things now happening before our eyes, can't you feel the kingdom coming? Can't you sense a new day dawning, rising like the morning sun with healing in his wings? Rid up your minds to be believing, prepare your hearts to receiving the soon to be returning Lord of Lords and King of Kings. When he comes in the clouds, each and every knee shall bow, every ear shall hear him, every eye shall see. Son of man be. Can't you feel the kingdom coming? Can't you sense a new day dawning, rising like the morning sun with healing in his wings? Rid up your minds to be believing, prepare your hearts to be receiving the soon to be returning Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Our Savior and Deliverer and Redeemer, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, El Shaddai, Yahshua, hallelujah. Can't you feel the kingdom coming? Can't you sense a new day dawning? Rising like the morning sun with healing in his wings. Rid up your minds to be believing, prepare your hearts to be receiving the soon to be returning.
Alrighty, we are back, and you know, fellas, that pedophile in the White House, I think, may have crossed the line because he came out and said abortion, and he actually referred to the child, is a God-given, it's a God-given right. Boy, I'm going to tell you, do you think God was listening to that?
Sure. No doubt. Sure. No doubt, Pastor Ernie. I mean, he's going to have to give account of millions and millions of dead babies, the blood of dead babies.
Do you think that Mr. Biden's going to find a super hot place in hell along with seven of those nine so-called judges that were in that 19 Roe v. Wade decision, 73 decision.
Yeah, led by Blackmun.
Yep, Harry Blackmun.
I remember, Pastor Ernie, Blackmun said that he was going to take Roe v. Wade with him to the grave. I remember vividly him saying that. He was adamant. He was not going to change his mind or, you know, soften it in any way. He said he was going to take it to the grave. Can you imagine taking that to the grave, Pastor Ernie?
Well, you know what? You know what? What did Jesus say about harming one of his little ones? You'd been better off if you'd never been born. You'd been better off if you had a millstone hung around your neck, which weighed 4,000 pounds, and then thrown into the ocean, to the sea. Right? What was the harshest punishment God brought upon the nations by killing their children? That was the harshest punishment He brought upon them for doing that. And so,
well, what happened with the nation of Israel, Pastor Ernie? Eventually, when they didn't repent of it, he brought the Babylonians, and the Babylonians killed hundreds and hundreds of thousands of Jews and took a remnant to Babylon.
Yep. And so,
now, Pastor Ernie, you know, I've looked at this many times in the book of Numbers, and it talks about shedding innocent blood, and those that shed innocent blood, their blood is going to have to be shed. So in America, I know you think there's 100 million babies killed since 73 there.
Well, I've talked to a number of abortionists that have come out of it. In other words, they repented, they got saved, or have professions. And every single one has told me it's a common practice that all of them, and the IRS knows it, that they only claim one out of every two that they killed, that it's a common practice. And so...
It adds up. That they were all those babies were murdered legally. Well, quote, legally. Quote, legal. Man's
but,
legal.
Yeah, but not lawfully. You see, there's a difference. Something can be legal, but not lawful.
Exactly. You know, it was done under the color, legal under the color of the law here by the Supreme Court. So America has got blood guilt on it, Pastor.
Absolutely. And what does he say? He said, I've set before you this day life and death, blessing and cursing. So choose life and a blessing so that you and your children can live.
Oh, I wanted to add, Pastor Ernie, Antifa said this Sunday, it's Mother's Day, they're going to go to the pro-life churches. And I don't know if it's all over the country or localized. I think it's all over the country, but Antifa's not that big. But anyways, they want to go into the churches and disrupt them and who knows what.
Well, if they go to the UBF churches, they're going to get heaven, sweet, and hell hot preached to them. And I know if they come to mine, that's what they're going to get, okay? Where they're going to get, I mean, they're going to hear it. And, you know, once you've heard that, remember, God's listening. If they come out to do that, and you preach to them what God's, what does the Bible say about touch not God's anointed?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So what they're going to do is they're going to really be bringing God's wrath upon himself, and it's going to hit them when they least expect it. Okay, here you go. Godless pro-abortion activists announcing plans to storm churches and interrupt a mass on Mother's Day this weekend. Okay, earlier today, the far-left group Ruth sent us, doxed the home address of six conservative justices on the Supreme Court. Let me ask you guys this. Do you think that they're going to do like they did before? Do you think they're going to kowtow and give in and out of fear of the Democratic Party terrorist groups?
I hope not, Pastor Ernie. When you analyze the Roe v. Wade decision and compare it to the Dred Scott decision, which we all know what the result of that was. If people aren't familiar with Dred Scott decision, they need to read it. It resulted in the Civil War. So we're not going to escape the God's judgment on this Roe v. Wade, no matter, in my opinion, no matter what they do. So all those Antifas and all those people that support Roe v. Wade, they would have supported black slavery passed during it because the same logic, essentially the same words were used to define the African-Americans, well, I shouldn't call African-Americans, but the blacks as non-human. The same logic and language was used to define babies as non-human. So read the decisions and you'll come to the conclusion that you would have supported black slavery if you support Roe v. Wade.
Well, you know, here's the thing. On that Dred Scott decision, 7 of the 9 were Deathocrats. They were and Ku Klux Klan members. And it's the same thing with the Roe v. Wade. 7 of the 9 were Deathocrats. Now, Schumer announces Senate will vote next week to codify abortion rights. Could make abortion legal up to birth and pass beyond birth a federal law. Okay, Senate Majority Leader Little Chucky Schumer, a wicked little man, he's a wicked little man, and he's an evil little man, said that the U.S. Senate will vote next week to codify abortion rights. Boy, I'm going to tell you, if they pass that, they're pushing for a civil war, aren't they?
They're really pushing for God's judgment, Pastor Ernie, and the judgment could be a civil war.
Well, I tell you what, we don't have much time left. So here's the thing. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do, John McTernan. I'm going to ask you to pray for the pro-life ministries like this one right here, like the one for all the contributors to this ministry and all the ministries like this, because we're a real target. And as you know, they're always up to some mischief. So you pray for God's protection for us so that we can continue to go. John Holman, would you pray also, pray that God would even, will either bring these people to repentance, and I'm talking about Joe Obama, Biden, Nancy Pelosi, Chucky Schumer, or he would remove them. He would remove these wicked people. They're evil, evil to the bone. So they will not continue to kill because they're bloodthirsty. They hate the children. They hate life. They hate God. And so you pray that the Lord would remove them, that they repent or be removed. So go ahead, John, and then I'll give the invitation tonight.
Okay. All right. All right. Father, we have before you now Pastor Ernie and the pro-life ministry, which he heads up. And, Lord, we are asking the protection now of everyone that's involved in pro-life, his church, the pro-life centers, Lord. And there is a murdering spirit in these people. It's gone from the babies now. It's gone from killing babies to us. You could see it in them, Lord. You could see it in there. And they scream and howl like demons. So, Lord, we are under the blood of the everlasting covenant that you made with us when Jesus shed his blood on the cross. And we're asking for protection under that covenant. And, Lord, I'd like to expand it to all pro-life ministries, Lord, that right now you be protecting them as these left communist reprobates are becoming like, well, it's becoming like the French Revolution here now, Lord. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.
Yes, Father, and we bring all those in the positions of authority, Lord, that are championing and promoting the murder of innocent babies in the womb. Father, it is crystal clear in the Bible what the punishment is for shedding innocent blood. So, Father, we ask, Lord, that you would bring them to repentance, Father, and bring them into your family. And, Father, if they're not going to repent, you know all things. Father, we ask that you would apply that judgment, Lord, and justly, and to save lives here in the future, Father. So, please, Father, save the babies, save. Now they want, proposing to killing them after they're born, Father, which is nothing new. These are evil, wicked people. So, Father, deliver justice to them now. In Jesus' name, amen.
You know, God wants us all. He tells us in his word, it's not his will that any come short. He wants you to be, everyone listening to me out there, 100% certain that when you die, that you will not go to that burning lake of fire, but then you'll go to paradise, be with the Lord and the saints. In fact, he says this in 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Now, here's what else he says. Now, listen, folks, because we talked about grace earlier here. He knows, he says that you're a sinner and you don't deserve to go to heaven. That's what he says. In fact, in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But then, the only way that you can pay for your sin is by spending eternity in hell. You know, that's the only way you can pay for your sins. But, and he says that because for the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. And remember what he says, too, about death and hell being cast into the lake of fire. That is the second death, Revelation 20:14, in fact. So we can't do anything. There's nothing in this world that we can do to obtain salvation apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. George Soros can't buy 1 minute out of hell. He can't buy 1 minute out of hell. Bezos can't buy 1 minute out of hell. None of these Democrats can buy 1 minute out of hell. The only thing, that as God says, you either repent and or perish. And so here, he says, not by works of righteousness that which we have done, but according to the mercy he saved us, in Titus 3:5, in fact. Now, so how did we get, where does our salvation come from? Jesus Christ paid the price with it. He died a substitutionary death. He did for us what we could never do for ourselves. And he says this in Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus not only died, but also rose from the dead. He says, for I delivered unto you, first of all, which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. 1 Corinthians 15:3-4. Now listen, he freely offers you salvation. That's a gift. There's not enough money in the world, and never will be, never has been, to buy 1 minute out of hell. It's a free gift. It can only be received as a gift from the Lord, okay? So you accept the gift by believing in the Lord Jesus and by confessing him with your mouth. That's what he says. For with the heart man believeth, and with the righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Romans 10:10. And so, folks, you are 100% certain simply by believing the promise of God. For whosoever shall call upon his name of the Lord shall be saved. So that's that simple. The Lord Jesus said, pray to the Father, ask for forgiveness, then call upon the name of the Lord. And here's what he honors. He honors that commitment. And you will become a new person, a new creature, a born-again believer, indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Don't run out of tomorrow's tonight. If you haven't done that yet, you're like walking a tightrope over a lake of fire, because you don't know if you're going to get an invitation again or another chance. You don't know if you're going to be alive in this world when the sun rises in the morning. So, folks, don't wait. Do it tonight before your head hits that pillow. If you have not done that, you need to do it. And I want to wish all of the ladies out there, the Christian ladies, that if you're not a mother, you had a mother. So I want to wish you all Mother's Day, a blessed, blessed Mother's Day out there for all of you and your families. And John and John, you each got a minute to put in the last word. Go ahead.
I'm going to put in this last scripture here real quick, Pastor Ernie. This is 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. There it is, folks. God is not willing that any should perish, so come to the Lord.
Okay, McTernan?
Yeah, I 100%. God's heaven is huge, and there's always room for one more. There's no reason for anyone not to be in heaven with Jesus Christ for eternity. It takes repentance from sin and confessing that you Jesus Christ died on the cross and shed his blood to pay the price for your sin, and he bodily rose again. That's the heart of salvation in Jesus Christ, and God is not willing that any should perish.
Amen. So for those people out there who say, well, you know, I'm listening to what you're saying, but I don't know necessarily if I believe it. By them not believing it, will that change the outcome of what God has said in any way, shape, or form?
No, Pastor Ernie, in the book of Revelation, it says those leading off into hell are the unbelievers.
There you go.
The fearful and unbelievers.
So that's what Revelation 20, verse 8, huh? And so,
yes.
So there you go, folks. And again, we're running out of time for tonight. We didn't take any calls because we had very important. I want to, again, invite you out to Doers of the Word Baptist Church at 14781 Sperry Road in Newberry, Ohio. Sunday morning, we start with a Bible study at 8:30 now, actually, or with praise and worship, a Bible study at 9, and the regular service at 11 in the morning. And we're an actual New Testament church, and where our policy is no compromise. We're an activist church, period. And so if you want to run with the horses, come on out. We're looking for a few good, solid Christians out there. So, until tomorrow, we always say this, okay? Good night. God bless. And always, always, let's do it, fellas. Keep
fighting
the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.